thank you, and thank all of you for being here this morning. It is a wonderful day outside, and God has given all of us the opportunity to be here and to sing these wonderful hymns of faith to our God and to be able to pay tribute to the Lord that we love. You know, away in a manger 2,000 years ago, the Christ child was born in Bethlehem of Judea. And as Dwight mentioned a moment ago, sometimes we like to think of the baby Jesus and not the one on the cross or the one who stands today as our Savior and our Lord. But how grateful we are today for Jesus. That baby Jesus grew up and he suffered a lot of things for you and for me. You know, I really get excited about Christmas. I don't know about you. I was talking to someone not long ago, and they said, "Wait, we've just been waiting for Christmas because it's our favorite time of the year." You know, if you listen to young children talk, they always tell you that they're waiting for Christmas. They just can't wait. Of course, Christmas to them is somewhat different than what it is for us. We never really celebrate the day, December the 24th. We don't know precisely when Christ was born, but we do celebrate the event that it happened and is preserved for us in the Word of Almighty God. And that's why all of us should be waiting for Christmas. You know, God's people had been waiting for a long, long time. Ever since that prophecy came from the pen of Isaiah in the book of Isaiah chapter 7 many years ago, and Isaiah chapter 40, the birth of the Christ, the one who would come into the world. And so they waited for over 700 years. Imagine waiting for 700 years to the coming of that prophecy to be true. But in Isaiah 7, in verse 14, the Bible says that the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah was often referred to as the messianic prophet, for he foretold more about the coming of Jesus than did any of the other prophets in the Old Testament. And certainly that was a very monumental thing when Israel, who had gone through all kinds of trials and problems, that one could foretell of a coming Redeemer in Israel. For in the book of Isaiah 9 and 6, the prophet writes again about this. And he says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and he will be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." If there ever is a message for us today from the birth of Christ, it is that we must prepare room in our hearts for him. Luke chapter 2. You know, I like the gospel according to Luke because Luke contains some very interesting facts about the birth of Christ that you'll not find in the gospel according to Matthew or Mark or even John, who write from a little bit different perspective. But in the book of Luke, we come across two characters that you never see when you see the nativity scene depicted. I'm glad this year that down at the courthouse we have the nativity scene displayed. I think that's great. In a lot of communities, that doesn't happen. But I'm glad to be able to know and say today with great assurance that we hope that that will continue and we believe that it will. But these two characters that we read about in the book of Luke are named Simeon and Anna. But they don't appear at the nativity scenes, even though they were very fundamental. And even though they were very involved in this beautiful drama that plays out about the birth of Christ. You know, the Greek word used by Luke here when he talks about the anticipation on the part of Simeon about the coming of Christ is actually a word that means that they were really expecting it to happen. They knew it was going to happen. They didn't know precisely the time or the day, but they were alert to what was going on, and they were ready to welcome the Christ when he would be born, Luke 2 and verse 25. And he was waiting. He couldn't hardly wait for Christmas to come. But the reason they waited was not for gifts or a tree necessarily or Santa Claus coming down the chimney. But they were waiting for the anticipation of a Savior who is called Christ the Lord. Now I want to talk to you first of all about this man named Simeon. You don't read about Simeon much in the Bible. As I said, you don't read about him in the book of Matthew, Mark, or John. But you do read about him in the book of Luke, and with great significance, because he was waiting for something very special. As he waited for Christmas, he waited for comfort. You know, comfort is a wonderful thing. Sometimes we have to wait for it as well, do we not? Things were not really going too well in the nation of Israel. At one time, they had a king. David was their king. Saul was their king. Solomon was their king. But their political independence no longer existed. And they were under the rule of another monarch. And he was a cruel king, and this king's name was Herod. And many people began to wonder about that great prophecy of Isaiah. Would it ever take place? When will our king come again? When will we cease to be under this cruel monarchy of Herod? And in Luke 2 and verse 25, the Bible says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation, if you will, of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." Now Simeon, as I said, didn't know exactly when this was going to take place, but the Holy Spirit prompted him just at the right time to go into those temple courts where he had been on numerous occasions. And it was at that right time because Joseph and Mary were bringing their infant to the temple during the days of what they call purification. And when Simeon looked down at that baby Jesus, which was about 6 weeks old at that particular time, he knew that God had kept his promise, and that the prophecy of Isaiah was being fulfilled right before their very eyes. "For here is Emmanuel, the one who is called God with us." And he knew that comfort would come. I want you to notice something about Simeon that is really, really important. Simeon was a righteous person, the Bible says. Not any righteousness of his own, but the righteousness that came through God. But his people also recognized him to be a righteous one. But he was a devout man in his relationship to God. And if you look down to verse 26, it also shows that Simeon had a good reason to anticipate the coming of Christ. For it had been revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die. Get this picture. That I will not draw my last breath until I see the Christ, the Son of God, born into this world. You know, Christmas sometimes is a joyful time, isn't it? But sometimes it's a lonely time. No doubt Simeon had spent many, many lonely hours wondering, just when will the Christ child be born? Just when will the King of Israel come? You know, many people in our world today, when we talk about Christmas, they desire to be comforted more than anything else. Do you think our soldiers on a foreign field are worried about unwrapping gifts? Do you think that people on a hospital bed somewhere are worried about what someone's going to give them? No. They're looking for comfort. They're looking for security. They're looking for something to remedy their loneliness and their emptiness down deep within their heart. More people take their lives during the Christmas holidays than ever before. It is a time of crisis, a time of depression. But I want you to notice what happened when Simeon was blessed to see the child. In Luke 2:28, the Bible says, "Then he took him up in his arms, and he blessed God." I've told you before, sometimes the reason that God doesn't bless us is because we don't bless him. Simeon blessed God and said, "Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared for the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles," he says, "and the glory of thy people Israel." In verse 28 of Luke chapter 2, the Bible says that Simeon reached down, took Jesus out of Mary's arms, and then he began to acknowledge who he was. He began to praise him. Can't you imagine that sacred moment? I'm going to tell you something. I doubted that Mary and Joseph really let just everybody who came along hold the Christ child. But Simeon reaches over and he takes that baby out of Mary's arms and he holds that baby very close to his breast, for he receives the comfort that he had sought, and he begins to praise God for what he has done. And now he is ready to die. You know, sometimes I hear people say, "Well, if I could just live to see my grandchildren grow up, I'll be ready to leave this world. Or if I can just live to see them graduate from high school, then I'll be ready to depart." I can imagine Simeon had told this to his friend many, many times. "Do you know that the Holy Spirit told me that I would see the Christ child born into this world before I die? And you know what? That's what I'm waiting for. I'm ready." He was of old age. He'd been at the temple for a long, long time. He had aches and pains like everybody does. And he says, "Now, holding that baby, let us thy servant depart in peace." But there was another servant of God who really had waited to see this Christ child born. And like I said, you never see Simeon at the nativity, nor do you ever see Anna there. And in actuality, they became more involved in the nativity than did the wise men. For you see, the wise men didn't come into the presence of Jesus until he was 2 years or older. We're talking about 6 weeks. And so this other person was a woman by the name of Anna. But she was seeking something just a little bit different than what Simeon had sought. For Anna was waiting for forgiveness. Simeon is waiting for comfort. But Anna, for forgiveness. She had been a widow for a long, long time. We don't know exactly how long. But she had stayed at the temple for all of those years, and had dedicated herself as a result of her praying and fasting over a period of time up at the temple. In fact, did you know that the Bible says that she never left the temple? Get that picture in your mind. But she worshiped God day and night. Every day, 365 days a year, she was looking forward to the same person as was Simeon. But her orientation was just a little bit different. She was looking for forgiveness. For verse 38 says, and I want to read this, It says, coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks unto God. She did the same thing that Simeon did. She praised God. She gave thanks to God, and then she spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. Can't you imagine the joy that was going on in the heart of this elderly woman? Finally, we have seen the Christ. We have seen God's Son born into the world. The Old Testament Passover, as I've suggested here, stood in monument to the release of Israel from Egyptian bondage, and Anna's Day as the ultimate redemption and the symbol of God's power to set the captives free. If you remember Jesus, when he went into the temple and read the scripture, he read that passage. When Anna saw Jesus, she gave thanks to God. And notice this last part of this little statement. Sometimes it's overlooked, but it says she spoke of him to all that were waiting for redemption. Here at last was the one who could forgive their sins. Now, like Simeon and Anna, I can tell you there are some steps that you and I need to take in our life. And you know what? You just see these steps and you see these actions taking place in their life. They became marvelers at what they saw. You know what God says to us? We ought to be marvelers. We should. Have you ever marveled at anything? I mean, you stood in the presence maybe of someone and you just marveled, or maybe you saw great monuments and you stood back and you marveled at them. Well, that's exactly what Simeon and Anna did. They became marvelers. They were saying in our modern day phraseology, wow, can you believe this? We have been privileged to see the Christ born into the world. And when Mary and Joseph tried to process everything that was going on in their mind, can you imagine what was going on? Verse 33 says that they marveled at what was said about Jesus. That just simply means to, I guess you could say, to be filled with surprise and astonishment. And, you know, I mean, you were so excited about what you saw. If I were to ask you today the question, are you a marveler when it comes to Christ? Or have you become accustomed so much to the stress of this season? I don't know how many times I've heard people, believe it or not, say in the last few days, I will be so glad when Christmas is over. I heard about a lady who got on an elevator one time with her children, and a man was standing at the back, and boy, she was so frustrated. She had been out trying to buy gifts and do everything in the world to hurry up the hustle and the bustle of Christmas. She says, I don't know who started this whole thing about Christmas, but I think they ought to string him up and get him away. And you know what? The man behind her said, ma'am, they did. They did. Sometimes we get so busy, as Dwight said, running around trying to find the appropriate gift. By the way, how many of you have got appropriate gifts for your family? All of you? How many of you are through with your Christmas shopping? Any of you? None of you. Two or three of you. Some of you like this, you don't know whether you have or not. I heard about a retired couple one time who returned to a Mercedes dealership. They were going to buy a new Mercedes. And the salesman had just sold the car that they'd been interested in to a beautiful blonde. She had on a miniskirt. The old man was visibly upset. He spoke to the salesman sharply and he said, young man, I thought you said you would hold that car till I raised that $55,000 asking price. Yet I just overheard you close the deal for $45,000 to that beautiful young lady over there. And if I remember right, you insisted that there would be no way in the world that you would ever discount this model. The salesman took a deep breath, cleared his throat, reached for a glass of water, and he said, "Well, what I can tell you is that she had the cash ready. She didn't need any financing. And, sir, just look at how beautiful she is. I just couldn't resist," replied the grinning salesman somewhat sheepishly. Well, just then the young woman approached the senior couple and gave the car keys to the old man. "There you go," she said. "I told you I could get that idiot to lower the price. See you later, Daddy." But sometimes we're always searching for gifts, and we're searching for the right gift. And we get so caught up in all of that that we don't have time to really think about the real meaning of Christmas. Has it become so predictable in your mind? How many times do you really think about it? When we talk about Christmas and we sing the hymns, all right, we go caroling, but do you really focus on the Christ? Do you really marvel? You marvel at the miracles of Christ? That's exactly what Anna and Simeon did. Have you heard the Christmas story so much that it no longer astonishes you? Is it old hat? Shouldn't be. Your faith should make Jesus marvel. But the real question is, does your faith make Jesus marvel? If I would give you a message this morning, it is, don't hesitate to marvel and really think about the birth of our Savior. But there was something else that we learned about the life of Simeon and Anna. They became movers. They were serving other people. Verse 27 of that text says that they were moved by the Spirit to go into the temple courts. Now that was Simeon, if you will. He didn't just go on his own. The Holy Spirit spake to him. And now if you drop down to verse 38, the Bible says of Anna coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks unto God. Both Simeon and Anna were movers. When the Holy Spirit prompted them to move, they moved. You know, isn't that a great lesson for us? When God speaks to us, and He does speak to our hearts, believe me, He does. And when we sit idly by and do nothing about changing our lives, and when we sit down and we do nothing about trying to make our life better and moving in the direction of heaven, we sin against God. I wonder what really would have happened had Anna and Simeon delayed. But you know what? They had put their faith into action. I've learned in life that none of us are exempt. We're not. All of us have a responsibility, and all of us need to take flight with wings as eagles. We do. All of us need to rise from where we are and to soar into action. But thirdly, and last of all, there was another thing about Simeon and Anna that becomes so important, is that they started that movement all right, but they became messengers of God. If you look down in verse 38 again, it says, "She gave thanks unto God and to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel." She spoke to others about Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing that when we think about Christmas, you know what we talk about when we talk to others? How many times have you ever heard people ask this in the last week? "Are y'all ready for Christmas?" Have you ever heard anybody say that? I mean, that seems to be the topic of conversation. You go to Walmart, you go to Brookshire's, you go to Bell's, you go to JCPenney, wherever you go, "Are y'all ready for Christmas?" It's like, if you're not, come on in, we got all kinds of stuff. But that's not what it's about. It's not what it's about. But how many of us say, when someone says, "Are you ready for Christmas?" Do you ever say, "Yeah, isn't the birth of Jesus and His sacrifice on the cross a marvelous thing?" We marvel at the birth, the death, and the resurrection of our Savior. For people who say, "I can't talk to other people about Jesus," I'm going to tell you something. Life begins at the end of your comfort zone. You can talk to people about Jesus. And Jesus gave us the Great Commission in Matthew 28 to go into all the world and teach the gospel of Christ. Do you realize that you, like Simeon and Anna, have the ability to influence people about the Son of God and to make their lives better? May God help us to be the kind of people that can influence other people and to make us the kind of people that marvel and that move at His command, and we become messengers. Why were Simeon and Anna waiting? They were waiting for comfort and forgiveness. They had room in their heart. You remember when Mary and Joseph had gone up to be taxed according to the ruling and the law of Caesar Augustus at that time to be enrolled. They couldn't find a place where Mary could give birth to the Christ child. So one at the end says, "All I have is a stable out back." We were singing about it a moment ago. Away in a manger, no crib for His bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down His sweet head. You know, in my mind of minds, I've often wondered if Jesus ever went back to that little inn. Chances are He probably did time and time again. And chances are He went back to thank that innkeeper for giving His mother a place for her to give birth. But you see, what Christ is looking for today is a heart that has room for Him. For He lives in our heart, doesn't He? He does. Or would you say to Jesus again, no vacancies? God has given us the greatest gift the world has ever known. A man sent his parents a new laptop one time for Christmas. He recalls the experience, and they do too. They were so excited now that they too could be a part of this instant generation. When Dad unpacked the laptop, plugged it in, literally within seconds, the laptop transforms two smiles into a frown. Even after reading the directions, they couldn't make it work. 2 days later, he said, my mother was playing bridge with a friend and confessed her inability to get that laptop to even open up. To get this thing to work, she exclaimed, I really don't need better direction. I just needed my son to come along with the gift. You know, God gave us His Son, but along with the Son, He gave us instructions. He gave us both. And He tells us how we are to build our lives. And I hope this morning, as you think about the Christmas story, and you think about the birth of our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, and what a sacred and monumental event that really is, I hope you're prepared to open your heart to Him. If you're not a Christian, would you open your life to Christ this morning? Would you turn away from things that are wrong or things that are amiss and ask God to come into your heart through your obedient faith, being baptized for the remission of sins, and then begin serving Him all the days of your life? And you know what? Here's the thing. When you come to the end of your journey here, you don't have to leave this world in fear, but you can say with Simeon, because you have kept the faith, and like Paul said, now let thy servant depart in peace. I hope you can. This morning we're going to sing a song of encouragement to give you an opportunity to think about your life and to think about the Savior. And as we do so, if you are inclined to respond in a public way to the cause of Jesus, I hope you will while we stand and while we sing.